So let's finish this call by talking about our part, what can we do, and then I want to go to prayer. However this leads you to pray, I want to pray. I want to pray for our nation. I want to pray for I have a guide here. We have our leaders. And you might want to write something down if there's something on your heart right now that you want to pray for. We have leaders, state, federal, and local. I want to pray for these guys today. I want to pray for the police or sheriffs. They have their hands full. I want to pray for anyone that feels like they've been singled out as a certain race or as a person. I want to pray for healing. I want healing. I know there's good police. There's also bad police. There's good citizens, and there's also troublemaking citizens that stir people up. It's on both sides. I want to pray for our churches. I want to pray for healing and racism. I want to pray for our Christian leaders, and I want to pray for the economy because I think it's about to collapse, frankly. I think it's just one of the many threats we have is our economy. It's about to just totally collapse. So I'm going to read from Joel chapter 2, I'm going to read from that, and then I'm going to read from Daniel 9, and then we're going to close in prayer. We're all going to pray about these things, and that's how we'll end up. So in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, this is what the Lord says, "Turn to me now while there is time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothing in your grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Who knows? Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before." I just love that. I really believe God is saying this to us right now. That word is timeless. We know God's truth is truth. This is what the Lord says. Turn to me now while there's still time. Whether it's for personal salvation or whether it's someone that's just, you know, kind of gone astray like I was. I need led back on the right path all the time. So Joel 2 gives us what we need to hear. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And sometimes I struggle with this, folks. Sometimes I catch myself indifferent. Sometimes I catch myself thinking, it'll work out. It's going to be fine. God, just look the other way. And sometimes it's just in my flesh. I don't weep like I think I should. I don't mourn like I think I should. I don't have the heart that I need in many ways. Mourning about friends that don't need Jesus. Mourning about people that don't know Jesus very well. So I just think that I just think we need to come together united in Christ. And I don't know how to do this. Sylvester's working on it. He's doing what he's led to do, the United States of America. It is gathering the saints. And it's not just about spiritual. It's about, you know, the physical end of it. I just think we are so segregated. The most segregated morning of the week is Sunday morning. White church, black church. They have this theology. They have that theology. And it's not what God intended. So that's all I have to say about that. Now I want to turn to Daniel chapter 9, who suffered the loss of his nation. He found himself in Persia. He was in Babylon before the Persians invaded. Right, exactly. So he went through some pretty rough stuff to get to this prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to pray this, and then we're going to observe some things about this prayer that I think we can draft from, that we can know in our hearts. This is the way to pray today. It's very applicable. And then we're going to pray personally. How, we might get into some discussion. I don't know if there's much more to discuss. Is there? Do we really need to talk about what we need to do? I think the Bible has guided us. Jesus has just guided us to conclusions here as far as I'm concerned. So we're just going to read this, talk about this prayer a little bit, and then we're going to pray, and then we'll get off. So Daniel 9, verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises and unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings, princes, and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, for we have not followed the instructions he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. So now the solemn curses and judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured down on us because of our sin. You have kept your word and done to us and our rulers exactly as you warned. Never has there been such a disaster as happened in Jerusalem. Every curse written against us in the law of Moses has come true. Yet we have refused to seek mercy from the Lord our God by turning from our sins and recognizing his truth. Therefore, the Lord has brought upon us the disaster he prepared. The Lord our God was right to do all these things, for we did not obey him. Our Lord, O Lord our God, you brought lasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. All the neighboring nations mock Jerusalem and your people because of our sins and the sins of our ancestors. O our God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your desolate sanctuary. Oh, my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. See how your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea not because we deserve your help, but because of your mercy. Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Oh, Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. Oh, my God, for your people and here and your city, bear your name. Amen. Who would like to make some observations out of this prayer? I find this just one of the amazing prayers in all of Scripture that I just, go to for certain times. Who wants to – has anyone, caught anything that they see out of this prayer in a special way?
I think Daniel had a heart that was willing to lower himself, even though he may not have necessarily committed the sins he was committing. He included himself in all of the sins that he was repenting for the people for.
Amen. Brooke, you just said exactly what I was looking for. He's got we all over this. We have sinned. We have refused to listen. We have turned from you. And that's a great, to me, that's the point of all points when I look at this prayer, because this is not about, but but, you know, this person did that or that organization does that, but those people kill babies. This is about knowing that we're all guilty. This is about knowing that we're all sinful. We're all in the same boat. This is a uniting prayer. And know that Daniel was one of the most righteous men in the Lord's eyes. There's a group of three men that the Lord cites as being the most righteous: Noah, Job, and Daniel. It's in, I think, Ezekiel 14.
Yeah.
And Daniel knew that the prophets, because Daniel read Jeremiah. We know this from that book. Actually, no, maybe it wasn't Daniel that read Jeremiah, but the book of Jeremiah, some of those prophecies got to Babylon. So when Daniel says, we have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. So I believe Daniel knew what Jeremiah had to say to those kings that, you know, again, they continue refusing to seek the Lord. And, of course, you know, God was setting them up to be exiled anyway. But bottom line is Daniel recognized this. And we know that our leaders hear truth. But whether they seek him or not, I mean, that's my prayer for our leaders, that they hear the truth and they act accordingly. Any other comments on this prayer?
It's all timely. I mean, it's your message today is just as prophetic as anything that I have ever heard from any big name person on internet, television, cable. Doesn't matter. It's just as timely and just as loud and clear in my soul than anything I have ever heard or studied. Brother, I thank you and honor you for this powerful message.
Thank you, Sylvester. It means a lot. I just want to make one point. Daniel closes with, we make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. Let's not lose sight of that. He sent his son to die for us, not because we deserved it. He's allowed us to thrive in this nation, not because we deserved it. So, yeah, entitlement starts in the church. let's turn to prayer. And my friends, I don't know how to do this, but these are the things I wanted to pray for: the racism and the violence and the bigotry that's not only in the racial arguments, but the bigotry of, you know, I'm tolerant of everybody, so therefore you need to be tolerant yourself. You know what I mean? Imposing their beliefs. And I think a lot of it is retribution. The church has for many years tried to impose their beliefs in not so loving manner in many ways, right? I mean, you know, I'm convinced that many of these mothers that are walking up to abortion clinics, they want hope. They want a message of redemption. But we know these mothers that end up giving their babies to be murdered, they suffer scars for years, for the rest of their lives, many of them. They need the hope and the love of Christ. You don't have to tell someone pretty much that they're doing wrong. They might need to hear it. They might, because they need to be warned. But they also need to be told about the love of Christ and how they can be lovingly embraced. So all I'm saying is, we have a lot of, you know, people out there just preaching, you know, evil or, you know, it's like, gosh, if we can't preach in love, let's just not bother. Please. We're absolutely nothing. And I think church is in many ways suffering retribution for not preaching in love, but preaching in condemnation. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. I'm just as guilty as anybody. with my sins. So who am I to point any fingers? So we need to understand that we're nothing without Christ, and that people need love. And that's why, go back to the great commandment.